Thank you, Paul. We'll go right into it. A lot of people don't realize that on the pesticide labels, many of them state what spray droplet size and the carrier volume that they really want you to use for that particular pesticide for both efficacy and spray drift management. And this is according to the ASABE standard and so forth. And the last one is, of course, the S572.1. And which sprayer had the best results? This is an actual problem a farmer called me with. He bought a brand new John Deere sprayer that cost, you know, about $500,000. And he also had an airplane do some spraying for him. But the big thing is, the job that is done is what? It depends so much on that little spray nozzle. Yeah, you can have a $1 million sprayer or whatever it is. But what really makes a difference is that little tip in there, not even the cap and the rest of it. And why is that spray nozzle so important? Well, the first thing, of course, it controls the amount applied. It determines the uniformity of the application, affects the coverage, the spray drift potential, breaks the mixing of the droplets, forms the spray pattern, and propels the droplets in the proper direction. You know, that's all done by that little spray nozzle and how critical that really is. What this originated as, we had a wet spring out in our area in 2015. This farmer bought this brand new John Deere sprayer. And he got behind, so he called in an aerial applicator. And it was interesting because the aerial applicator did a better job than the farmer did with his ground rig. He couldn't understand that since he had a brand new sprayer. Well, let's see if we can identify the problem here. One of the things is, and this is a pretty good comment by Kurt Howard at North Dakota State, you know, we hear a lot about increasing spray droplet size to reduce spray drift, really manage it. Well, I think he's right in his statement here that in many cases that's reduced efficacy between 10 and even as much as 50%. So we're concerned about this. Why did the aerial applicator get better control? Well, if you read the label on the product they was using, it called for coarse droplet size is what it called for. And this would be a droplet size like right in here. The farmer, I'm sure when he bought the sprayer, the dealer asked him if he had problems with spray drift and wanted to manage it. And I'm sure he said, yes, yeah, man, we want to manage that spray drift. So the dealer put on nozzles here in this ultra coarse, bigger than 665 microns and so forth, or twice the size. Actually, in studying these, they were probably well over 1,000. They were huge droplets that they sprayed. And this really affected the efficacy of the product and so forth. And we look at this chart here, and we spray a lot of herbicides in this particular area. And, of course, a lot of the fungicides and insecticides for coverage we spray with a smaller droplet size. And, of course, we don't have to be quite as concerned with spray drift there, but we always want to still be concerned about keeping the product there. Because not only that, if we don't keep the product where it belongs, it doesn't do any good, right? Yeah, we lose 10 or 15% in spray drift. That means we're going to have 10 or 15% less performance of the product and so forth. And, you know, lots of times people think you go to, say, double the particle size, you have half as many droplets. Well, when you change particle size, you go up 250 to 500. You have 1/8 of spray particles and so forth. So it really makes a difference on coverage when you change. We don't have time to go through all the things that affect efficacy and drift ratings. There's a whole, we could spend probably most of the day on that. What we want is what? We want 100% efficacy and zero spray drift. That's our, and this farmer that sprayed this particular plot about achieved that. Yeah, he did okay. Now, the DRT that the EPA is working on, drift reduction technology, and this is the latest thing on there. And, you know, you try for a one-star setup, you got a 25 to 49% drift, reduction in spray drift. You get to the four-star rating, you got to have 90% to get in there. It's going to be pretty tough to get into that particular class. We're going to see on new labels coming out two statements about like buffer zones and so forth. One will be if you don't use any drift reduction technology or DRT, and another one if you're using that DRT, it's definitely got to cut down buffers and other things if you make those choices. We got a lot of different spray nozzles out there, so selecting them can be a real challenge, not just for the farmer, but even for the commercial applicator, and we work a lot in training them on these particular things. And really, we've added a lot of stuff to our new weed disease and insect management guide. Had a few things in there before 2016, but in 2016, and then I'm working on the 2017 edition, we've got a lot of information on application in there, and we'll actually take you through some of that. These are all the breakdowns on the various spray particles and the micron ranges and so forth we run into. And, of course, this would be one of the things in the spraying systems book. As you go down through here and you go and increase the size of the nozzle here and increase pressure and so forth, you affect spray particle size. And generally, as you go down, you get a bigger spray particle as you go down through it. And then, of course, as you increase pressure, you get a smaller spray droplet size. Now, one of these things with these two, you get a pre-orifice and a final outlet orifice, you can do some funny things. You can actually go up to a bigger nozzle because they vary the orifice size and then get a smaller particle size and so forth. So you can see a lot of those things really change with these. There's some really good additives out there. This would be one that really does a good job. This is in wind and so forth, but you can see the herbicide alone in there, and then the herbicide with a material like Interlock. And we've tested a bunch of these and so forth. There's some good ones out there, and there's a lot of junk out there that's on the market and so forth. And then we've got new products coming on like Enlist Duo. And on this, they're actually specifying there. It says, do not use any nozzle and pressure combination not specifically allowed in the chart. They're, of course, really concerned about spray drift and so forth. And, of course, they want good efficacy here. But we're going to see this on a lot of labels now, these kinds of things, really specifying the exact nozzles they want and the pressure range that they want in those. Roundup Extend, not on the market yet, but they have a listing of that. Now, I think they're going to change this a little bit, too, before it finally gets on the market because it has the dicamba formulation in there, and, of course, they're really concerned about spray drift with that. Now, there's some, if they keep those same specifications on there, there's some nozzles that we can use to spray both of these products and use the same nozzle and so forth. And like in Monsanto, and I'm glad to see them, they even got a maximum speed on their application. And I'm really glad to see that because I think in many cases we're driving these rigs too fast, getting a lot of boom bounce, and that really contributes to spray drift and so forth as we go down through the field. I've limited all my charts to 14 mile an hour. And I've done spray clinics, you know, all the way across the U.S., and sometimes I get criticized at meetings for not having higher speeds in there, but I think they're really what should be done. And at our 2014 crop production clinics, we even had Bill Gordon on the program from Australia, and he said that his work with the automatic boom height controllers on sprayers, that you get more than about 14 or 15 mile an hour, they don't work very well. And that's another good reason, I think, to keep my speeds down in my charts to 14 mile an hour. Now, what we've done, and we've been doing it at our crop production clinics and so forth, talked to our applicators on this, and this last year gave them some problems to work on. They each get a copy of the guide when they come to that as part of the registration fee, and then we give them an exercise to actually work on. And I think it's really been, we've had a lot of positive comments on doing that. Here was an example of a problem here. We're going to treat a field of corn with the herbicide Callisto Extra. And then we tell them to go to chart 34, on page 34, and look for Callisto there. Now, we'll bring this out to make it a little bit easier. The droplet size that they recommend is medium to coarse, and then the ground application rate they recommend is 10 to 30. And we help them make some of these decisions. We say, well, we're really concerned about drift, so let's go to the larger particle size. Let's go to coarse. And then also, the recommended carrier rate is 10 to 30. We say, well, since you're going to the bigger particle size, you probably don't want to go to the lowest carrier rate because you need more coverage and so forth. So we're going to say we're going to use 20 gallons per acre in here to get better coverage because we're using the bigger spray droplets and so forth. And then we want to know, have them work with like 15-inch nozzle spacing, and we're going to drive 20 mile an hour trying to put on our, 12 mile an hour to put on 20 gallons per acre. And what would be a good nozzle choice? Well, if we go down in the charts that we've got in the guide now and so forth, if you go down here, you're going to see for coarse spray quality right here. And then they got 15-inch nozzle spacing. And then we go over here to 12 mile an hour, and it will tell you what nozzle you can use in that to give that. Here's a couple of nozzles, an XRC, which is a combination, you know, you could use a plain one, but I like the combination nozzles, where the tip is actually built into the cap. And then I really like, this is Visicolored, and the K stands for ceramic. Ceramic nozzles, in most cases, are cheaper, and they last a lot longer. And so we try to stress to that, that this is their best investment, is to buy the ceramic nozzles and so forth. And if you use this particular nozzle, 23 PSI, you would get the 20 gallons per acre here at 12 mile an hour. Another nozzle you could use would be the Turbo T-Jet 11006 at 41. So we try to, in some cases, there's a couple of nozzles they can use. And then we go to another combination, another thing, spraying a fungicide, Prosaro, on winter wheat. And we say, well, go to chart 37 where we've got all the information out of the labels in there. And if you go on down here to Prosaro, and we'll bring that, quite a few, especially the fungicides and insecticides, don't have anything on there about spray particle size. New one products, I'm sure, will. They do specify a minimum of 10 gallons per acre. And they don't say what spray droplet size you should use. Now, we got our sprayer. We got 20-inch nozzle spacing on our sprayer. And we're going to put on 15 gallons per acre. Now, where did I get this information? Well, I made up a chart here for those things that don't specify. And for 15 and 20 gallons per acre for fungicides and insecticides, because it seems like a lot of these don't. Now, one of the things you're also going to notice here that we're saying, I'm saying that up to 8 mile an hour, I feel you can use 15 gallons and get good coverage. If you want to go faster, then I think you're going to need a minimum of 20 gallons per acre to compensate for that increased speed and so forth. And a lot of the farmer applicators that we have that have their own spray rigs kind of like that because of the fact that they don't have big spray tanks. And so if they drive a little bit slower, they're not putting on, have to put on so much carrier rate, so they can compensate by not having to fill up so much and so forth. And then, of course, they also save on additives because most of those go on That's per 100 gallons and so forth. Okay, so that takes us right there, and that's what that looks like, and that would tell us at 8 mile an hour, we could use an XRC nozzle 110.04 VK at 41 PSI. And we then they can go in and check out the exact one they want to. And then the last final problem we're going to illustrate here is one on an insecticide, Arctic 3.2E. And then we go and look at the chart here on insecticides and fungicides, and we'll, of course, go over to the insecticide part and look for Arctic here. And this is what it says, medium or coarser, and then 10 to 20 gallons per acre. Okay. And in this case, we tell them, as our example here, is we got an insect that's really hitting our area. We're a commercial applicator, and we're getting the farmers calling in to get their fields treated like nothing. The list won't stop. So we realize that we're probably going to give up a little bit of control to get coverage. So we're going to use, on the bottom line here, we're going to go 10 to 20 gallons per acre, but we're going to go down to 10 so we get more acres covered. We're going to go medium to get the coverage, to increase our coverage since we're going to the minimum down here because we got this long list of farmers to get. We realize that maybe we'll give up 2 or 3 or 4% on coverage, but it's probably more important that we get everybody spraying done timely than worry about 2 or 3 or 4% on efficacy. We got 30-inch nozzle spacing, and we're going to go at the Klein top speed that we can recommend. You know, he won't let us go over 14, so we're going to go up 14 mile an hour and go down in our chart here, looking at 30-inch nozzle spacing, and then, of course, 14 mile an hour, and this tells us we can use this nozzle, an XRC 110.08 VK at 31 PSI. But that's kind of how we put that together, and any questions or comments on that? Yes. That is a really good question. I'm glad you asked that. Because I'll have a farmer that goes and buys like that $400,000 sprayer, and then he'll call me and says, what nozzle should I buy? He just spent all that money on a new sprayer, and then he wants to buy one nozzle. It's really, really difficult to find that nozzle and so forth. Now, the one that comes probably closest is the Turbo T-Jet nozzle. Because it's got such a wide pressure range, you can run it from 15 to 90 and so forth. And so, but lots of times you won't have the exact one you need. Now, one of the things that also fits right in this, I tell anybody if they're buying a new sprayer and it doesn't have pulse width modulation, to get it on 15-inch nozzle spacing. Then when they're spraying about 20 gallons per acre, that you buy a nozzle size for 15-inch nozzle spacing. When they want to go like to the glyphosate, so you recommend 10 gallons and less and so forth, then just switch off the 15-inch nozzle spacing, use 30-inch nozzle spacing, and then you'll have the half rate and so forth. So that also fits right in there. So recommend that people buy our sprayers and so forth or set them up on 15-inch nozzle spacing. It gives them a lot more flexibility. But a very good question. Glad you asked that. Any others? I think you're using bouquet. Okay.